And it's great to have some South Africans here this morning. Goeiemôre, Kunjani, Pilile. I don't know if we have anybody here from Kenya, Jambosana, Tanzania, Habari. Indonesia. Shabbat Shalom. No, that's Hebrew. So, yeah, I actually need to makasi. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Yeah, I was 2 years ago in Indonesia, and so they in Bahasa they don't have a word for brown. So we were a delegation from different nations, and so they've got a word for, you know, blacks and a word for whites. But the word for brown is chocolate, so I was the chocolate man. Yeah, my wife, she is from Switzerland, and bring you greetings from my family. I've got four kids, and so she was actually born in New York. Do we have anybody from the U.S. here? So in New York, they drink coffee there. So yeah, I love the New Yorkan accent. So she was born in New York, but she grew up in Switzerland. Her dad was working there for a Swiss company. So I'm going to take off my watch because, you know, when I preach in Switzerland, I tell the Swiss, you know, you made the watches, but we Africans, we've got the time. But don't worry, I will look at my Swiss watch this morning. So I want to honor you. If you have your Bibles with you, I just want to read a scripture. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." This morning I want to speak to you about the dream of God. Because God has got dreams, and you are part of God's dream. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that cost God everything. That's why on the cross, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he quoted Psalm 22, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Now he knew that his bystanders knew the whole psalm, because at the end of the psalm, it talks about that every nation, every family of the earth will come and worship the Lord. And so even as Jesus on the cross was crying out those words, one of the prophetic psalms in Psalm 22, what he was dying for was for the whole world, for all of humanity. And so as we've read in Revelation chapter 7 verse 9, this incredible picture that John saw, this is where history is moving towards. A great feast, a great celebration, where people from everywhere, from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language worshiping the Lord. And that word language, it means languages of the earth. And this is what I love about God, and this is so great to be in this assembly this morning, because I see so many friends from so many parts of the world. I met my brother here from Zimbabwe as I came in, and I've been hearing about Pastor Joelle from so many friends as I've traveled to Fiji and other parts of that area. And that's why I want to say to him, Bula, Bula Banaka. And yes, you've won the sevens gold in rugby, but we're coming back for you as the South Africans. A little bit of rugby rivalry here. Yes, yes. But this is God's dream. God's dream is for the whole. God's dream is for the every. God's dream is not just for me. Yes, God loves me. And there is something powerful about the us when we are together. But there is something where our us creates a them. And what is something so beautiful about being a family and being together? But then we look at the others in a total different way. And so what is so beautiful about this kingdom that is so radical, this kingdom that transcends all borders, this kingdom that transcends all cultures, this kingdom is a beautiful kingdom. And where I'm from, they used to say that Christianity is the white man's religion, but this morning I want to say to you, as we are worshiping here this morning, on Sunday, the first day of the week, when Jesus was resurrected on Easter Sunday, and that is the amazing reality that what those Jewish band would celebrate, for Shabbat, they basically moved that to this great day of resurrection as they followed the reality of the Messiah that they became followers of. And the truth is, this morning there are more people worshiping God in more languages than in any other religion. This is what is making Christianity so unique. This is why Christianity is just so authentic. Christianity is not just where the Word of God or the Gospel came in a revealed language, but the Gospel came in translated form. That's why when the story of Jesus was being told through the Gospels, it was in the language of the day, it was in Greek, it was not in Aramaic, which was the mother tongue of Jesus. So from the beginning, we see that in the heart of God was that this Gospel would be the home for every nation, every people. And this morning, yes, we were worshiping God in English, but I know that as you were praying, that there is something about connecting with God in your mother tongue, what I call the language of your dreams, what I call your heart language. And there is something that I can tell my wife in my mother tongue, which is one of the 11 official languages of South Africa, that is very special to me. When I tell her that I love her, there's just something I can say it to her in my mother tongue than in no other language. May scut the ball. My ball of treasures, just the direct translation. I love you. And of course, I know that there is something that resonates with her when I tell her that I love her in her heart language, which is French. And that is just when I tell her, ma chérie, je t'aime. And I had to learn French, and this is part of the missionary call, is where God is expanding our hearts. Where God wants us to love what He loves. You see, my dream was not to come to Rogaland. My dream was not to come to Stavanger or to come to Norway or to come to this sophisticated country with these amazing people from all over the world. It wasn't my dream to travel to the different nations of the earth. You know, my dream as I was growing up, an African village boy, in a home with no electricity and no running water, my chore as the youngest of 10 children was to go and fetch the water in the nearby river. My dream was to go to the next door town, which was about 20 kilometers away. That was my dream. And I remember we could go once a month and my mother would dress me up with shorts, long socks, and then I would be able to wear my shoes that day. It was a big deal. And she somehow did not think that curly hair was beautiful. That's why she took a little pot of Vaseline and emptied it on my hair, because she believed straight hair was beautiful. And so I would endure that, because that day I would get my favorite food, which is fish and chips and a 500 milliliters of Coke. Now I know for the health conscious people, this is not something I need to preach about this morning. I'm sorry, I know it's sacrilegious. But as a little boy, that was my dream. Was go to the next town, was to go to the next province. It wasn't even to go to the nations around South Africa. You see, but when God touched your heart, then you realize that your dreams are becoming His dreams. And so the more I fell in love with God, like we find in Isaiah chapter 6, when he was in the temple again, he was worshiping God. And in that place, he knew the presence of God was there, and the presence of God took hold of Isaiah's heart, the prophet. And then as he came into touch with how big God's heart is, how God loves what is beyond his cultural boundaries, what is beyond his own experience, what is beyond what he grew up with. And then Isaiah cried out and he said, "Lord, here I am, send me." It was a natural response as God touched his heart. And this morning, friends, I pray that, yes, you are the international church, but my prayer this morning is that God will give you a big heart, because he has a big heart, and God wants his dream to become your dreams. And God's dream is for the every and the all. That's why Jesus said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature." In Matthew chapter 28, he said to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations." In Mark chapter 11, when Jesus came into the temple and they were trading in the courts of the Gentiles, and he overthrew the tables and he chased them out, and he quoted from Isaiah and he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." It's a radical gospel. The gospel of the kingdom is where Jesus introduced us to a God that is not just an ethnic deity. It's not just a God that is confined to our cultural experience or our religious experience. This God is beyond our imaginations. He is the God of the universe. And when he comes into our life, he upset the status quo. You miss a good place to say amen. But I will forgive you, because I'm preaching in Norway and not in South Africa, where by this time people would be standing and they would be saying, "Yes, Pastor, preach it." But relax, relax, relax. Oh, hallelujah. That's what I told the Norwegians when I preached in the Lutheran church the other night, Friday night, and I taught them a little South African song, "Bambalela Jesu, Bambalela." And so I told them, I said, "You know, that's why God brought me here, just to help get you ready for heaven." I said, "God loves you introverted, quiet people. He loves you, because that's why he made sure," as we read in Revelation, when John wrote, he said, "And in heaven, there was half an hour of silence just for you." The rest of the time, all the Africans were there with the drums, kabum, 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 kabum. You know, there was a lot of noise. Father, have mercy. You see, I'm coming from the land that has given the word, the world, a word that you can't even translate, the word apartheid. You can't even translate it. It's the word that's to do with separation, the word that is to do with exclusion, the word that is to do with rejection based on your skin color, or now it is not about skin color, but in our world, it's in terms of, you know, religion, or it's in terms of social status, whatever those divides are, or debates around gender. But I just want to say to you this morning, this God that I'm serving, he's got a big heart. And when he cried out, "My God, why have thou forsaken me?" Yes, it was a cry of desperation, of total alienation, but it was because of the joy that was set before him, according to Hebrews, that he endured the suffering. And the joy was you and me. The joy was every nation that John saw in Revelation chapter 7, 9. That's why we become missionaries. We're becoming missionaries not just because we want to cross the oceans. We become missionaries because we've seen the cross. We've seen the suffering servant. We've seen the self-sacrificing love of a God that became like one of us, the God who limited himself, the God who came to embrace our brokenness, the God who embraced our sin. And that is why Miroslav Volf, a professor from the U.S., from the Balkans, said that reconciliation suffers because we exclude the enemy from the community of humans and we exclude ourselves from the community of sinners. You see, it is so easy for us, even as a church, yes, we have come into the household of God. But at the end of the day, we can just build all these invisible walls that excludes. In 2009, I was invited to do a big conference in Oslo. And I said, yes, I will come to Oslo to do this conference. It's called Nations to Nations. And I said, I will do it, but I want you to include every church in Oslo before I would commit to it. And at that time, more Muslims would go to Friday prayers on a Friday than Norwegian Christians would go on a Sunday. And then in partnership with the Lutheran bishop and with other church leaders, they rolled out some research to find out how many churches were there. And they told me there were only a certain number of churches. I said, I don't believe you. And so they basically did some more research. And they discovered that there in Oslo were 98 ethnic churches that they didn't even know existed. And as the media, that's what I was told, as they discovered the results of the research, the front page news of the newspaper was revival in Oslo. I want to say to you this morning that God is doing a new thing. Before the gospel was preached from Jerusalem and then it went to the world. And then this beautiful heritage of this country and even where you are meeting this morning, it became then from the gospel going from the west to the rest. But I just want to say to you this morning, the Lord is doing a new thing. Today, the center of gravity of the church has shifted to the global south. And the church is growing and the church is expanding in parts that used to be mission fields. But I can tell you this morning that today it is God taking people from everywhere going to everywhere, from every nation going to every nation. And this is what makes Christianity so incredible. That is why Jesus revealed himself to John and he said to John, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Mega. It was in a foreign language. Yes, it was the trade language. But Jesus said, I come to reveal myself to you, John, as the Alpha and the Omega. And that is why this great celebration that we're working towards of a multitude that no one could count from every nation, from every tribe, and from every language, worshiping Jesus, worshiping the Lamb. You see, missions exist because worship doesn't. And the reason why we go to the nations is because Jesus is worthy that he will receive worship in the heart language, in the dream language of every people and every tribe. Otherwise, he will always be a foreign God. And our God is not a foreign God. He has made his home among us. And that is why today, I am doing what I'm doing, not because I want to eat salmon. That's why I'm in Norway here. I like salmon. It's very nice. It's not just because that I want to go and see the world as a tourist or because I'm following a materialistic dream, but I'm doing what I'm doing because God has got a dream and he's inviting us into this privilege where his dream can become our dream. You see, friends, especially in the world that we are living in today, a world that is so polarized, a world that is so divided, I just believe that God has called us as a prophetic community, as the church, to truly be the church, and that God wants to just destroy some of those invisible boundaries that we have built up, if it's around religion, if it's around different doctrines, if it is around different cultural barriers or whatever the debate is, and debate is huge. I just believe this is where the church has got an incredible prophetic voice to preach this kingdom, that is an everlasting kingdom. This kingdom that includes everyone. This dream of God for every people, for every nation. And sometimes it's the most invisible people. It's the most marginalized in society. I remember I was doing these celebrations, I told you, in Oslo with hundreds of people and from different backgrounds, different styles of worship, being together. And the deputy mayor of Oslo was there. She couldn't believe it when she saw a gathering of 1,000 people in one of those halls. And she said, Are these the people from my city? I said, yes, ma'am. They are people from your city, from Syria and from other parts of the world. And they have found Jesus on the streets of Oslo. And they are worshiping Jesus. I was privileged to meet the head of immigrant ministry in the Norwegian church, a wonderful man from Ethiopia. And we had some incredible fellowship together. And I said, this is the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful kingdom. It's a multicolored kingdom. It's a kingdom from every nation, every language. And instead of a 5-minute protocol greeting she had to give us, she stood there as she heard worship in different tongues, different styles, but worshiping the Jesus who is worthy to receive worship from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And she stayed there for more than 2 hours. As I was doing these celebrations around the world, preaching the message of reconciliation from Berlin to West Papua, or places God has taken me around the globe. About 8 years ago, a delegation came to my office in Cape Town. They walk into my office unannounced. And so as they sat down, they had the traditional attire. And, about 5 of them, they sat there. And they look at me. They said, Edwin, we have heard about Nations to Nations, your work around the world with indigenous people in reconciliation. But what are you doing for your own people? And these were the Khoi and the San and the chiefs from the indigenous people of South Africa, the Kuranas. They were all sitting there in their national attire. And these were like my mothers, these were my fathers, they were sitting there. And they turned to me and they said, after democracy in our country, what are you doing for your own people? And I know my community, a broken community. Wherever you go in the world, indigenous communities, very broken with alcoholism and family issues. And as I saw the pain in their eyes, and they pointed a finger at me and they're saying, what are you doing for your own people? Something broke in my heart. And I said, what can I do? Because this is my community that I'm from. And they said, we want you to call the United Nations. Now, I am just like Pastor Joely. I am a pastor. I'm a missionary. I'm not a diplomat. But I had a phone in my office, but God moved my heart, and I grabbed the phone, and they gave me the number, and I called the United Nations. And they asked me, who are you? Very good question. Because I said, I want to come and meet with you in Geneva. They said, who are you? I couldn't tell them, I'm a pastor, I'm a missionary. So I turned to the chiefs, and I said, they asked me, who am I? And the chief, the paramount chief, looked at me with his headband and with his leopard skin, and he looked at me, and he said, tell them you are the international spokesperson of all the indigenous tribes of South Africa. So I returned the call. I said, I'm the spokesperson of the... They said, we know about your issues. We know that some of the marginalized and the broken people and the struggle of catching up of what has been devastated by apartheid. But we know about the issue. And we will clear our schedule for you to come. To make a long story short, I took the chiefs to Geneva. I had to tell the chief, you don't have to show them your stick, because it doesn't work in Switzerland at Geneva Airport. They need your passport. Humble people, broken people, but people whom God loves. People that are included in this dream of God. But people who are there, but they are not seen. They are invisible. And they are not just people. There are issues that are invisible, like human trafficking that has just exploded onto the world scene. There were issues invisible, like the poor in Calcutta and in India, but it was a Mother Teresa that saw the dream and the heart of God, and it broke across the world scene. What are the things that God wants to reveal to you that you can bring into the fore, because God wants to reveal his dreams to you? Maybe those things that nobody talks about in your nation or in your industry or in your business or, you know, within your sphere of influence, but something that God wants to just share and put in your heart, and God wants to bring you into the place of proximity where things are not just on a TV screen, it is not just what people write about or talk about, but somehow the issues touch you because God wants to share His heart, His broken heart for humanity with you. And 8 years later, God has started a process that has brought a broken community from the Kalahari desert in my country into a place of incredible dignity and inclusion and a place of acknowledgement and recognition. And all I had to do was to say yes to Jesus. What do you have to say yes to this morning? God wants to include you in His dreams for humanity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Can all God's people say?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.